Today we have live tennis for you from the Western and Southern Open, starting on ESPN2 at 11 a.m. Eastern. Novak Djokovic, Naomi Osaka, both in action. Then tonight on ESPN7 Eastern, Serena Williams taking on Maria Sakkari. You can see live coverage all day long on the ESPN app. Meanwhile on planet Earth, Marcus Spears will be with us for our next hour. Was on the brand new NFL Live yesterday, and he was pretty happy about it.
Look at the lights. Look at the lights. Look at the light. Look at me. You can see me. You can see me. You can see me. Let's go. Let's go.
Swagoo, congratulations to you and Dan and Laura and everybody involved with the new NFL Live. It looks like you were having fun.
Thank you, G. You know me, man. You've seen what I look like before shows start. You understand all of this.
Absolutely. And so we will have plenty of time to talk about football and basketball with the big Swagoo, who is with us for the next 60 minutes. I'm Greeny. We're in Bristol. It's another hour of Get Up, and First Take comes your way. We are jam-packed, and there's only one place to begin. That is in the bubble, where at one point it looked like the Lakers were in some trouble. But now the late-night Lakers are on cruise and in control. After that Game 1 wake-up, are they now clearly the team to beat? We're talking about it off the top. Then, wait until you hear what the offensive coordinator said in Cleveland. Could it spell trouble for these stars as they seek redemption? And yes, Patrick Mahomes is great, but are the tributes now getting completely out of hand? You'll hear the latest. You'll decide for yourself as we get up with you in this hour on ESPN. And it begins in the bubble with the game of the night and a solemn remembrance in so many ways as they wear the jersey of Kobe Bryant. There's LeBron in the Mamba jersey as they honor Kobe on the day after his 42nd birthday, and on the 24th of August, 8:24, the tributes were everywhere, and they were emotional, and they were special, and they were appropriate. And perhaps they inspired the Lakers to play the best game that maybe any team has played in this bubble so far. Early on, Lakers already up 7-0. We're 3 minutes in. LeBron, bang, 10-0 in favor of the Lakers right off the bat. And now they're up by 11. And here's Anthony Davis. Davis, the Lakers take an 18-4 lead. Davis would score 18 points in just 17 minutes. He would leave with back spasms, so that's worth watching. But the entire night belonged to L.A. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. The Lakers shot 56% from the floor. And at that point, it was 24-8. A poetic moment on a special night. Again, third quarter Lakers just blowing this one. Look at LeBron James. No conscience. From just inside the logo, 36 feet. LeBron, 4 of 5 from three-point range, and that one was from way downtown. He finished with 30 points, 10 assists. At that point, the Laker lead is 38. Damian Lillard, meanwhile, has been maybe the best player since the restart, but his night came to an end here with a little bit of a gimpy knee, and it appears that maybe the Blazers' run is about to come to an end. Lillard would score 11. And meanwhile, LeBron to Kuzma, who had 18 off the bench. LeBron, 30 points, 10 assists. Lakers, a huge win. And afterwards, in part, they were thinking about Kobe.
When I looked up there and seen 24-8, I was like, okay, this is, he's here in the building. So, you know, it was a beautiful, beautiful night for our franchise. And it's something that we probably will always remember, you know, game four of the 2020 playoffs in this moment.
It was a special moment, no question about it. And Swagoo joins Big Perk and Timothy Legler to talk basketball here. And Marcus, let's just start with that, with the entire day. Again, it comes on the day after Kobe's, what would have been his 42nd birthday, and then all of what we saw last night. What went through your mind as you were watching that part of it, Marcus?
It was absolutely amazing, G. But it also speaks to the mental capacity and what sports do from an emotional standpoint. That's all I thought about during the game. I tweeted out, damn, Kobe, it still doesn't feel real. And you see these players respond like that. Listen, don't think for 1 minute that the Lakers' performance wasn't about Kobe Bryant's legacy, memory, and what he did for so many years in the Lakers jersey. That was a representation of that. And we can talk about Kobe being there in the building, his spirit hovering around this team and them wanting to honor that. But this goes to the point of what LeBron has talked about, AD, all of the players in the NBA that have become centric with this Mamba mentality. The way the Lakers played is what we usually term as inspired basketball. And in this time, in this climate, they're in a bubble. No fans are actually in the state, the complex with them. To have that type of motivation put the lights out on the Portland Trail Blazers. So when we go further and we talk about the psyche of teams, the psyche of players, why you play is a big deal to a lot of professional basketball players. And you could tell that Kobe's spirit was palpable in that complex when the Lakers took on the Portland Trail Blazers. And we knew that Portland had no chance once we saw them playing with that memory in mind.
That's really well said. Kendrick, pick up that thought.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you wait until the last minute, but Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more, or gift lists like for the mom who has everything, pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th. It'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Well, Swaggoo is right. He's preaching the gospel, Greeny. That Mamba mentality was all through that building. It's been all through the bubble. If you look at all the guys that Kobe has touched and was a mentor to, guys like Jason Tatum, who has been playing phenomenal with that Mamba mentality, guy like Giannis, who's been dominating for Milwaukee, you know, your MVP, everyone's MVP, who's been playing phenomenal. And then you look at a guy like Anthony Davis and LeBron James, who's wearing that Laker uniform last night. They were ferocious on the defensive end. They had the Mamba mentality from the start. That Lakers team came out with it on their mind. They had it on his chest. And I said it last night that the great Kobe Bryant was smiling down from the heavens above and was pleased with the performance that the Lakers put on for him last night.
Yeah, in so many ways, it's still so hard to believe that we are where we are with regard to that. Legs, you have a quick thought? I want to get to the game here, but Legs, you have a quick thought on what we saw last night from the Lakers and honoring Kobe as they did?
Yeah, there's no question. Greeny, it gave them some extra juice last night. That team came out. They had a look in their eyes. And, you know, it was unfortunate for Portland that they had to be the victim on that court because the Lakers came out with an intensity that was clearly fueled by the memory of Kobe Bryant. And I think it's a testament to how beloved he was to think that, you know, we're 6-7 months after his passing and you could still drum up that kind of emotion to go out there to play a basketball game. But there's no doubt about it. I think it did affect their performance last night. They came out and suffocated that team defensively in particular right at the start. And I think all of it was a testament to their feelings about Kobe Bryant.
All right, fair enough. In the meantime, Legs, what a difference a week makes. I had you on the day after game one of this series. And the Lakers just looked terrible. And in particular, they shot 5 of 32 from 3. And last night, they shot 56% from the floor. So the Lakers have clearly woken up. And right now, I would ask you, what do they look like? As you watch every team play in the bubble right now, what do the Lakers look like to you?
I think right now you have to put them at the top of the list. And when you start talking about the favorites to win this thing, I mean, obviously going into it, they were right there in a small group. I think them and the Clippers and the Bucks were at the top. But the Lakers, I think, have separated themselves, obviously, right now with the way Paul George is playing and some of the struggles the Clippers have had defensively. And Milwaukee even started out pretty inconsistently. The Lakers are a team now that have just gotten better every single performance. I think once they got their preseason out of the way, those 8 games, and they got caught by a hot team in that first one, they've made the adjustments. They've upped their play. I think the one thing that has stood out to me, and I don't think they've been given enough credit really all year, how great their defense can be when they are locked in. And when you look at the way they played last night, no team in the league can have their bigs that far out on the floor extending that much against pick and roll, which you have to do against Portland's guards, and still be able to track those guys to the rim because of their foot speed, their length, their athleticism. That was a dominant performance last night. You almost felt sorry watching Portland try to operate offensively in the first half of that game because they just had no space anywhere on the floor. And that's the one aspect of the Lakers we have not talked enough about. We talk a lot about their shooting, and that was fantastic last night. They put both of those things together on the same night. That's when you get that kind of blowout performance. And obviously, they've taken control. Right now, to me, that was the best performance I have seen in the restart out of any team on both ends of the floor.
Big Perk, have they figured out whatever their issues were? We talked about whether they had enough shooters on a given night, and they start with the competition level starts to step up. We talked about a little bit of a lack of depth, perhaps, particularly with Avery Bradley not being there. Whatever the concerns were, have they answered the questions for you?
Well, Greeny, I didn't have concerns. You probably had concerns. I never had concerns. One thing I know is that defense wins championships. And when you look at this Portland Trailblazers in the start of the bubble in the 8 games, they were averaging 126 points on 48% shooting. Since the start of the playoffs against the Lakers, they're averaging 101 points on 41% shooting. And Legs talking about the bigs being able to defend the perimeter. You're talking about Anthony Davis, the defensive player of the year, the guy who could switch 1 through 5, the guy who could hedge out and trap pick and rolls and recover, a rim protector. So when you look at the dominant performance by Anthony Davis, he's a plus 84 in 87 minutes in the last 3 games in these playoffs. And he's been dominating. You ever been to Chicago and had Harold's Fried Chicken? That's what the Blazers has been to Anthony Davis, because he's been cooking them on the offensive end. I mean, he's having it his way. So I'm looking at this Laker team. Greeny, and you may have had concerns, but I never had concerns, not one bit.
That's true. You have been on the bandwagon the whole way. Marcus, quick final thought. No one watches more basketball than Marcus Spears. Do they look like the best team to you?
Yeah, they look like the best team. And, gee, listen, we knew at some point that the shooters would come through. Green, Kentavious Caldwell, Pope. We looked at Morris step up for some minutes. And what Big Perk is talking about, the bigs. We're not just talking about bigs. We're talking about athletic bigs that can switch pick and rolls, that can move from 1 through 5 in those positions. But the bottom line is this. When Anthony Davis decided in the second game of this series to assert himself more than anybody else on the floor, that's when the dynamics of this whole series change. And now you see LeBron came out sharp shooting, and we talk about the memory of Kobe and his legacy and all of that. This started with Anthony Davis saying, I'm the best player on the floor in this series, and I'm going to play like that from now on. something we didn't see in game one. And that's the difference in this series. Portland has no chance if Anthony Davis comes out every night and says, I'm just dominating whatever I need to dominate in, and that's what's happening.
I totally agree. All right, outstanding, guys. Sit tight. We have much more to do as we go on here, including the answer to my poll question this morning. You can vote on my Twitter page, at ESPN Greeny. If you're starting an NBA team right now, are you building it around Luka, he's 21, or Giannis, he's 25? Again, at ESPN Greeny on Twitter, cast your vote. Meanwhile, the NFL season starts in less than 3 weeks. The Browns don't sound ready. You'll hear what one of their coaches said and why maybe people in Cleveland need to worry about it. And then nothing to worry about in Kansas City. One of Patrick Mahomes' teammates says something magical happens when he throws the ball. You'll hear what it is and what Swagoo has to say about it as this hour continues. And we have a little sneaky Hembo time. This one's going to be for McElroy. Who was the only Browns quarterback with a winning record since the team returned to Cleveland in 1999? That's the question. The answer's next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and let's get up and go through some of the news in the sports world. Yesterday, Phil Mickelson shot a 61 in his PGA Tour Champions debut on Monday. That's what they used to call the Senior Tour. Birdied five straight on the back nine, 11 birds overall at the Charles Schwab Series at Ozarks National in Missouri. There's a one-shot lead going around two. Raiders wide receiver Tyrell Williams going to try and play the NFL season with a torn labrum after rehabbing it. The news was first reported by NFL Network. He had 651 receiving yards and six touchdowns last year. Bad news, Cleveland. The Browns fear that second-round pick Grant Delpit tore his Achilles yesterday, according to Shefty. Delpit suffered the non-contact injury during warm-ups. He had been competing to start at free safety. Meanwhile, back to our sneaky Hembo moment here, and this one's for McElroy. Who is the only Cleveland Browns quarterback with a winning record since the team returned to Cleveland, McElroy, which was in 1999?
I remember 2007 vividly, and I remember Derek Anderson being the quarterback, them almost making the playoffs, and them basically giving the Cowboys an awful first-round pick. As a Cowboy fan, 2007, I remember that year vividly. What I don't remember is what he did surrounding that time as a starting quarterback. I'm going to go Derek Anderson is the only guy.
It's not a bad guess, but it isn't right. The answer is Brian Hoyer, who went 10-6 as a starter in two seasons in Cleveland. And Hembo was taking shots at you. You're going to have to take that up with him after the show. Meanwhile, let's talk about the Browns as they look to bounce back from what was a disappointing 6-10 a year ago and Baker Mayfield throwing 21 picks. Even though they're less than 3 weeks away from opening against the Ravens, I want you to listen to offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt saying that they are still looking for an identity. Listen to this.
You know, the urgency is high right now. Through training camp and the installations, we're still trying to figure out who we really are. We did not have that time in the spring. So as we get through these next 3 or 4 days of practice, now we really start, as an offensive group, I think we're starting to understand what we have and what we do well. But the sense of urgency has to be high. We don't have any time to waste.
I don't want to make a big deal here, Swagoo, Booger, and Greg McElroy. Booger, I'll start with you. Should one be concerned about hearing the offensive coordinator 3 weeks before the season say we don't really know who we are on offense?
No, not at all. And I think, you know, people will pay attention to those comments and be like, what? Is that crazy? Listen, Kevin Stefanski, we already know what type of offense they're going to run. It's going to be a play-action, Gary Kubiak-style offense, a lot of inside-outside zone. They're going to get Baker Mayfield out of the pocket, get him on the move. They have a dynamic set of wide receivers, so they're going to figure out a way to use those receivers and get them on the move. I think what Alex Van Pelt is speaking of when he talks about identity, what are our favorite plays? What do our guys like to do in this offense? This is a new offense. We have not put this offense to the test under live bullets yet, so we don't really know our sweet spots. We don't really know our favorite plays. And so I think as you get into the season, the first 5-6 weeks of the season, you'll start to figure out, hey, this is what we're really good at. This is what we're not. But the overall system, Greeny, we already know what type of offense they're going to be. Just go back and look at what Stefanski did in Minnesota. He's going to bring a lot of that there. But his main thing is to make sure Baker Mayfield can play fast, in rhythm, and on time. And I think he'll do that in Cleveland.
All right. That makes me feel a little better. Swagoo, what do you think?
I don't like hearing a coach say we don't know our identity when they've been together. Like, I just don't understand the amount of time they put in practice, the things that they've been doing, that they haven't formulated some type of idea of who they're going to be. If they haven't, they better hurry the hell up. It's 3 weeks until the season starts for Cleveland. And we talking about a quarterback last year that looked like he digressed in a major way from his rookie season that everybody was excited about. I believe that they've done everything right in Cleveland as far as the offseason. They haven't been loud. I think they've been going about their business. But it is a little bit unnerving based on what we saw Cleveland be last year for their OC to say that they are still trying to figure that out. Baker Mayfield has been there. Odell Beckham Jr. has been there. Nick Chubb has been there. They added pieces this offseason. Like, it's time to come on. So I won't overreact because Boog is my big bro, and he kind of calmed me down with his calm nature and not to worry about things. But, Boog, I'm going to tell you, from a PR standpoint, I don't want to hear the damn offensive coordinator say we don't know what our identity is yet and we've been practicing for this long of a period of time.
Yeah, that's fair. Greg McElroy, let me come to you on the role of the quarterback, because this is a season about a lot of things in Cleveland, but the biggest is whether Baker Mayfield is going to be their quarterback for the next decade or not. What did you see specifically last year that needs to get better, and what is your expectation?
Well, the first thing is he needs to not make it about himself. Last year, with how he carried himself in the offseason, I think every defensive player in the league, and even those that are recently retired from the league, like our man Marcus Spears, they made it an all-points bulletin to say, we are going to not just shut Baker Mayfield up, but we're going to humble him quickly. And I think that is something that was felt around the league. Baker Mayfield was far too brash, and he found adversity for really the first time in his career on the field. So I expect him to have a huge bounce back season. I am very, very optimistic about what he's going to find with the offense and them kind of relying heavily on the run game, heavy play action, getting him on the move. I think it really marries up to what his skill set might allow him to become. So I think it's a really big season naturally for him, and I think the mix between what they're trying to do offensively and likely what he's going to be best at this point of his career, I think it seems like a perfect fit.
That's an interesting one. You know, Marcus, we sat with him at the Super Bowl, and he talked about how he has to sort of change. You know, he's not changing who he is as a person. You can't fundamentally change who you are as a person, but learn some of the lessons that Greg is talking about, and we'll see if that makes a big difference. Guys, sit tight. We'll get back to more of this in a moment. I got to take a quick break. As we continue, admit it, a week ago, if I had given you Giannis as a young player to start a team around, you would have jumped at it. What a difference a week makes. We'll explain why next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. What does Swaggoo say?
G, you know what I say? I say Daniel Jones is a gangster.
He lying, G.
Look at me today, G. I'm already a beast, so we just gonna be beastie. I call you bro.
Yes.
You are my bro. Are you crying, son?
This is not exactly how I meant for this to go.
Take that and smoke it.
It is time for Swaggoo Says, everybody's favorite game, where we hear what other people say, and then Swaggoo tells you what they really mean. And the first one, I love. This is Chiefs tight end Nick Kizer talking about what it's like to see a ball coming when it is thrown by Patrick Mahomes. Listen to what he said.
Well, when the ball leaves his hand, there's little sparks and little rainbows around it every time, and it's pretty crazy. I'm kidding, but no, he does an amazing job of putting it in a good spot, and obviously he makes throws that, you know, you wouldn't think are possible. So it's pretty cool to be on the receiving end of that.
I sort of like the sparks and rainbows. That's what he said. What does Swaggoo say?
Gee, you know what he's trying to say. You know I relate everything to money. And what do they say is at the end of a rainbow, a pot of damn gold? And that's what all of these skill position players are going to get because they playing with Patrick Mahomes. He is a comic book superstar. He is a hero. And everything that comes out of his hand turns into money, i.e. $503 million. And Kizer understands that as a tight end. Cheetah understands that as a wide receiver. When you play with Mahomes, you get paid. That's why you see rainbows, and that's why you see sparks.
I love it. And a great job by the staff putting those on the video there. I like it. I like the production value. Okay, next one. Yesterday, right here on Get Up, Mike Tannenbaum had some interesting comments about Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger. This is what he said.
I think Pittsburgh has a championship defense. Don't get me wrong. But I think Baltimore is clearly ahead, and I'm just saying If I had to take the Ben Roethlisberger at 38, who's played two games in 2 years, I'll take my chances with Burrow and Mayfield, and Pittsburgh may have the fourth best quarterback this year in the AFC North.
But that's what Mike T said. What does Swagoo say?
Mike T, what are you... Mike T, come on now. Listen, the general manager part of you is talking because they tell you in the league, G, when you're an old player, that young is good, young is the best, and you need to go young. Joe Burrow ain't threw a damn pass in the NFL yet. Baker Mayfield played terrible last year. Ben Roethlisberger is a perennial all-pro. He's going to be a Hall of Famer, and you put him at number four. Stop it, Mike T. Listen, I love you. I know the GM menu is saying, let's find young players that can play. You know damn well you taking Big Ben before Baker Mayfield and Joe Burrow. Cut it out.
I think the Steelers are the most overlooked team in this entire preseason, to be honest with you. So I love Mike T, too, but everybody's piling on him today. All right, Swagoo, we're going to turn the tables on you for this last one. For the first time ever, we're going to do this. After Luka Doncic hit the game-winning shot in Game 4, you went on Twitter. This is what Swagoo said.
Doc Rivers, one of the greatest. That's a player error. Kawhi had been working on Luka a little bit, and they switch it. Ow!
Luka Doncic.
Say, bro. This is going to be a problem for a long time. This dude 21. He 21.
That is what Swagoo said. Let's let Big Perk react. Big Perk, what is your reaction to what Swagoo said?
I see no lies, Greeny. Look, he's not lying. Luka is going to be a problem for a long time. And when I say a long time, I mean 15 years plus. You're talking about a guy who don't rely on athleticism. He's getting all this done at the age of 21, and he can't even jump over a pencil. You know, this guy probably have a 10-inch vertical and can hoop out this world. He is a problem. So I seen what Swagoo did, his video, man. It was hilarious, and he's on point as usual.
Swagoo, I enjoyed watching that. I enjoy following you following these basketball games, and I know you got the pro tip from your wife. That's where you got the call that shot was going to go down, right?
No doubt. No doubt, G. No doubt. The only reason we couldn't play my wife because she cursed. We cursed in the household. But what she said was is that Luka put Reggie Jackson on ice, and then he was able to set his feet for the jump shot. And she said once she saw his feet set, the game was over. And that's one thing shooters know. And my wife was a shooter. She could shoot you out the gym. If you let them set their feet, 9 times out of 10, you going home, bro. And that's what happened.
Okay, so that brings us to our poll question today, guys. It's on my Twitter page. And look, we are we're professional overreactors. But coming off of the Luka game the other day, if you could start a franchise right now with 21-year-old Luka Doncic or 25-year-old Giannis Antetokounmpo, who would you take? You can vote on my Twitter page at ESPN Greeny. And I'm adding to the conversation, I'm bringing in our insider extraordinaire, Zach Lowe, host of the Low Post podcast. And Zach, I will start this one with you. If you are building a franchise right now, and you can start it with either Luka or Giannis, who you got?
Well, the real answer is I'm doing cartwheels with either one, but I can't believe I'm saying this because I just voted Giannis Antetokounmpo MVP for the second year in a row, but I'm going Luka. And the reason I'm going Luka is not just the 4 years. I'm even throwing that out. Luka has no holes in his offensive game. He can shoot, he can dribble, he can pass, he can shoot from everywhere on the floor. And Giannis has that one little hole. It's getting a little smaller every year. But the no holes offensive game, I have greater flexibility to build my team around Luka. If I have a rim-running, shot-blocking center who can't shoot jumpers, Luka can use that guy. Giannis, as we've seen with Brook Lopez, they've had to change him into a different kind of player. If I have a defensive specialist on the wing who's maybe a shaky three-point shooter, bring that guy in. I can use him because Luka can shoot fine. So I can't – I'm shocked I'm saying this, but I'm going Luka Doncic.
Kendrick Perkins, who gets your vote?
It's Luka. Luka the Don, Greeny. And here's why. When you look at Luka, I said this just a few seconds ago, that it's a guy that doesn't rely on his athleticism. He's going to be able to do this for a long period of time, and he's only 21 years old. Also, when you look at Luka package offensively, yes, he's giving you 30 a night, but look at his facilitating. He's probably the best floor general right after LeBron James in today's game. His vision, his court vision is Magic Johnson-like. So I'm going with Luka Doncic if I'm starting the franchise today and I had to choose between him and Giannis.
Now, Swaggu, let me come to you and let me phrase this a different way. Are we overreacting to the moment? I've been doing this for 21 years, right? You come on the next day, you got to say something. This is a moment, and I see Zach Lowe shaking his head vigorously. I'll come back to you in a second. But Marcus, if we had asked this question a week ago, do you think, right now it's like 70-something percent of the people voting on my poll are taking Luka Doncic. Do you think that would have been the case 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, it would have been the case, G. Listen, we all know that the skill has taken over in basketball. And this is by no means to say that Giannis isn't skilled, but we all understand what Giannis needs to do to improve his game. Luka is a 6'7", 6'8", point guard. That's an advantage in every basketball game he'll ever play in his entire life. We look at Giannis and I say, look, when you look at Giannis play from a skill level position, you think that Giannis has a ways to go for his game. I look at AD and I say, that's a better version of Giannis. He might not have the strength, but Anthony Davis is a better version of Giannis Antetokounmpo, even though he's going to win the MVP because he's asked to do more for his team. Giannis, I'm speaking of. But when you look at Luka, every player in the NBA at some point is going to want to play with a guy that can set them up and position them to not only be better players, but to get a paycheck. What did LeBron do for so many of his teammates? Got them paid. That's what Luka Doncic is going to do for a lot of people in this league based on the way he plays basketball. Oh, and by the way, it's not the year 2020 anymore. The year is called 43-17-13.
Luka's numbers from the other day. Zach, why were you shaking your head? Final word, you were shaking your head vigorously.
Well, I mean, it's not just a moment. He averaged 29-9-9 this year, and a moment matters in the playoffs against Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and Marcus Morris in one of the best defenses in the league. He's not doing this against an eighth seed or some Eastern Conference also-ran. I mean, this is real big-time superstar stuff.
That's very well put. Okay, fair point. Meanwhile, let me take you through some of the other NBA action. We opened the hour with the Lakers blowing out the Blazers last night. They look great. Let me run the floor through the rest of the group, and we'll start with the aforementioned Giannis Antetokounmpo. The Greek freak had 31 points, 15 rebounds. Bucks beat the Magic by 15. They take a 3-1 series lead. Giannis, the first player in history to start a postseason with four straight games with at least 25 points, 10 boards, and 5 assists. Elsewhere, the Thunder are back. They overcame a 15-point deficit in the third quarter. They beat Houston by 3. Chris Paul had 26. Dennis Schroeder had 30 off the bench. So that series is now tied at 2 games apiece. And the Thunder have 32 clutch time wins this year. That's the most in the NBA. The Heat have advanced to the next round of the playoffs. They beat the Pacers by a dozen. Bam Adebayo at 14 points, 19 boards. Miami's bench outscored Indiana's 38-3. 16 of those coming from Tyler Hero. So the Heat move on. And then there was this. After getting swept by the Celtics in the first round, the Sixers fired Brett Brown yesterday after 7 seasons. He coached the Sixers through losing at least 60 games each of his first 3 years, then made the playoffs in his final 3 seasons. And I don't know, as we bring back Zach and Big Perk on this topic, I don't know if you guys were watching earlier, but Bruce Bowen, Zach, came on here and delivered really an impassioned thought on how this is less about Brett Brown in his mind than about a superstar in Joel Embiid who needs to be a leader and who needs to be accountable and who needs to demand greatness from himself and from others around him. That was Bruce's perspective, if I could paraphrase it. So with that sort of as the backdrop, I wonder what you thought of the decision they made yesterday and what you think the prognosis is for them going forward.
Well, I think some of the accountability stuff is on Brett. And if you talk to people inside the team, they would describe him as sort of a non-controversial, genial sort who didn't deal well with that kind of thing. Look, Brett Brown's a really good coach. He did a really good job with the Sixers. He dragged them through, I mean, the most painful rebuilding process in the history of sports. Sometimes it's just time. And I bet it's time for Brett. I bet Brett is tired of sitting around thinking about how can I space the floor with a point guard who can't shoot or won't shoot and a center who wants to be with his back to the basket. And by the way, my front office gave me another center for $25 million a year and I have 16 power forwards on my team. I bet Brett Brown could use a break from that And so I just think sometimes it's time. Sometimes a coach runs his course. So I don't think it's a good or bad decision. But in this case, I do think it seems like it was time.
That's fair. And both can be true. Big Perk, I would like, I don't know if you had a chance to hear what Bruce said, but it was passionate and it was fascinating. And it was really, his thought was that if that team is going to go where everyone wants them to go, it's going to be about Embiid and a change in his mentality and his level of accountability. I wonder what your thought on that is, Kendrick Perkins.
Well, here's my thought. It's Bruce, and I love him to death, but it's Spurs Nation taking up for Spurs Nation. You know, that's them Spurs ties, right? No, Brett Brown need to be held accountable. Greeny, at the end of the day, if I get into it with 10 ESPN workers that's working behind the scenes, it's not them that have the problem. Sooner or later, I got to check myself. Brett Brown has been into it with a lot of his players. You seen players like a guy like Jonathan Simmons who tweeted out yesterday, said it's about time. You look at a guy like Jimmy Butler who he had problems with, a high lottery pick in Okafor that they had to get rid of because he had problems with. You had Tobias Harris come out and say that they had chemistry problems. Big Al Horford, who you signed $100+ million to this summer, had a problem with him. Joel even shot slugs at him. Sooner or later, it's not everyone else. It was Brett Brown. He was the problem. They need a new change of scenery. They need to get some young blood in there. Ty Lue is the guy for the job, in my opinion. And we need to quit sugarcoating it. It's not the players. It was Brett Brown, and it was time for him to go.
That's fair, and that is extremely well put. Ty Lue, by the way, is the name that Woj brought up earlier here when we talked about it. Zach Lowe, is that your expectation? Where should we be looking for the replacement for Brett Brown in Philly?
That's going to be one of those names. I mean, Woj just mentioned Jay Wright and a couple of others. Ime Udoka is already on the bench. Ty Lue, to me, is a good fit for one reason. They need someone who's willing to look at Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons and have the hard discussions and get in their face about it and not take no for an answer, not take let's talk about it tomorrow for an answer, not take I'm walking out of the room sulking for an answer. And Ty Lue is willing to have those conversations. He's a hard ass. He'll get right in your face. And I think that's what they need.
I think that's fair. And he has seen that. And working with LeBron sometimes can be a benefit and a curse because people will give all of the credit to LeBron. But Ty Lue obviously took that team to 3 consecutive NBA Finals. Guys, excellent. Really good there. Thank you very much. Meanwhile, I'll take a break as we go. LeBron James, Aaron Rodgers both spoke yesterday about a way too familiar incident. Why their voices are increasingly important. That discussion is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and let's run the bases around the action from the major leagues yesterday. Javi Baez snapped a 19-game homerless streak with that blast yesterday. Actually hit two as the Cubs beat the Tigers 9-3. It's his 8th career multi-home run game. David Bodie added a home run and 4 RBIs for the Cubs. Elsewhere, Albert Pujols with an RBI single in the 5th inning against the Astros right there, putting him alone in second place in all-time RBIs, passing Alex Rodriguez with 2,087 in his career. He is second only to the great Hank Aaron. Elsewhere, the Mets will return to play today after having their last 4 games postponed because of positive coronavirus tests. The Mets will begin a 4-game series with Miami with a doubleheader starting at 5:10 p.m. Eastern time. And tomorrow night on ESPN, our baseball doubleheader starts at 7 Eastern with Aaron Judge back in the lineup for the Yankees against the NL East leading Braves. And then the Dodgers taking on Mike Yastrzemski and the Giants. Of course, Mookie Betts leading LA there. Both games are on ESPN and on the ESPN app. Amid months of nationwide protests against police brutality and systemic racism, another shooting of a black man, this time in Wisconsin, has sparked reaction from teams and athletes across sports. Video from over the weekend shows Jacob Blake, 29, apparently being shot in the back by police officers while leaning into an SUV. 7 shots can be heard. Blake's father says this morning that his son was shot 8 times and is paralyzed from the waist down, though doctors don't know if that is permanent. The Brewers and the Packers both spoke out against the shooting, as did many in the NBA.
Quite frankly, it's just f***ed up in our community. And us, I know people get tired of hearing me say it, but we are scared as black people in America. Black men, black women, black kids, we are terrified. Because you don't know. You have no idea.
It just sickening. It's heartless. It's a f***ed up situation. Like I said, you're supposed to look at the police to protect and serve, and now it's looked at harass or shoot. We shouldn't even came to this damn place, to be honest. I think coming here just took all the focal points off of what the issues are.
People are dying. Like, this is not okay. And we have to keep doing our part until change really comes. And, you know, wearing the Black Lives Matter shirts and kneeling, there's still more to be done.
We are 3 months today to the day of George Floyd's death in Minneapolis. Marcus Spears and Tim Legler are with me here. And Swagoo, I feel like we've had this conversation so many times, too many times, over the last 3 months. I just would like to give you the floor here and just wonder what goes through your mind and in your heart as we see another one of these videos.
Yeah, G, I mean, you obviously were there, and we talked about George Floyd murder, and you saw my emotion come out, and there's been things that transpired since then. And I said I wouldn't be on this high emotional roller coaster with everything that's going on. But this is something that I want people to think about, because there's always this convoluted conversation about, well, this could have happened and he should have complied and all of this stuff. I just want people to understand from a Black man's perspective, when you see these things, the psychological effect that it has, the psychological effect that it has to have a conversation with our children, as we've talked about before, the psychological effect that it takes when you see these videos of unarmed Black men or Black men that you particularly think could have been subdued without the possibility of deadly force. I want people to understand, my sister's a police officer. She was a Black female police officer who I wanted to come home every single day, who dealt with the possibility of threats from civilians and all of these things. But the one thing I told her, I said, if you have any other option to subdue a human being, subdue him. And don't go to that point unless that is just last resort. And when you look at this video, the thing that troubles me is the fact that it seems like the police officers had Jacob Blake, and he got around to his car with them following him, and then it results in being shot 7 times. There's no perfect scenario. I've had these discussions with my sister. I've had these discussions on the other side. The point I want to make is, when you see Black men talk about this, this is not something that is made up. There is a psychological effect when you are pulled over by police officers, especially white police officers, as a Black man in this country, that you think that the possibility of this going to this magnitude and this measure is as real as the stop itself. So I just want people to pay attention to that. But look, man, I've cried. I've had conversations with my son. I've talked to my friends. I've talked to my white friends. I've talked to everybody. We've all had these conversations, and we continue to have them. And then it results 3 months to the day to George Floyd, a guy kneeling on his neck, a murderer kneeling on his neck for almost 9 minutes. And then we see a guy get shot 7 times, and it begs the question, are we overreacting? Are we making this up? Hell no. This is a psychological part. And this is beyond all of the trauma that we've seen in neighborhoods that didn't end up in death, G, but ended up in violent interactions with police officers. The stigma, the psychological part of this is why you see the rage and the emotion come from the Black community, is because beyond being murdered and seeing these things transpire on social media, on television, there are traumatic incidents that happen that don't go to murder, that all register when you see these things transpire. So I just, look, for all of the naysayers, for all of the people that's going to say this is, you know, white guys get killed more, and all of these arguments that seem to come to fold when we see these things happen, just take a moment and understand the psychological effect that this has on Black people in this country. and you'll understand the rage and why we respond and react to these things like we do.
What does feel like it has happened in the last 3 months is there has been a reckoning of some sort with this in this country that I don't recall ever happening before. And Tim Legler, I do believe that part of the reason for that, certainly not all of it, but part of it has been the willingness of so many extremely high-profile athletes to speak out in these circumstances in a way that when you were playing and before and in my youth was just not the case. I don't know that I ever recall a time where athletes were willing to use their voice and their platform in the way that we're seeing now. What do you see there and why do you think that has changed?
Well, Greeny, I think the biggest thing that has changed, and it started with social media, okay, and the way that now athletes can utilize that, and they can now frame what they want to say without having to be asked a specific question and led down a certain path. So now you can just take to social media, and look, athletes have had thoughts on all sorts of societal issues, you know, forever, but they've never really had the platform where they can go out, and now they can just say what they want to say without worrying about the question that they were asked and trying to answer that. So that's where it started. Guys became more comfortable with utilizing social media to now interact with people and to answer questions and to put their thoughts out there on these topics. And then the second thing that's changed, they get asked about it now. You know, when I played, you just didn't get asked about these kinds of issues, and things would take place in society that obviously would be, you know, put us on full alert throughout the country. Now, everybody was talking about it. You put on any news channel, things would happen. That was the hot topic at that moment. But athletes weren't really asked about that. So now I think social media has made guys more comfortable in expressing their thoughts. And then on top of it, they are now asked to go ahead and give their thoughts on it. And the more you see it, as another athlete, you become more comfortable then when you're put in that position. Hey, you know what? I've got some thoughts on that as well, because it seems like now it carries weight and people want to listen to it. And it's a great thing, because even when I played, you know, 20 years ago, I retired, guys had these conversations in the locker room. We just weren't asked these kind of questions, and we certainly didn't have the platform that social media provides to be able to go out there and give your, you know, well thought out points of view on these topics.
That's a really interesting and well-made point. Timmy Legler, thank you. Marcus, thank you. We will see you guys later today. Marcus, NFL Live later today. Obviously, such important stuff here, more important than any of that. We will take a short break. We'll come back. First Take is on the way. Stephen A. and Max, they're talking about the Lakers and a whole lot more. That is 5 minutes from right now on ESPN. Quick look at my poll question at ESPN Greeny on Twitter. 77% of you right now say you would start a team with Luka Doncic over Giannis. I wonder how much of that is being a prisoner of the moment. We'll see. We'll talk about it coast to coast on ESPN Radio noon Eastern. I'll see you then. First Take starts now.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.